This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
How's your training going?
It's going all right.
Harder, there you go.
On the 14th of December, there's going to be some fireworks that's going to take place in Coventry. I'm going to make my professional MMA debut. So make sure that you book the pay-per-view tickets, because to watch this on pay-per-view, 20%, one-fifth of the earnings will go to charity. We'll go to the Lebanese crisis. We know what's going on there. And so we can, inshallah, raise money and be entertained at the same time.
I'm the kind of guy, thank you for the speech earlier too. I knew all that was for me, so.
Yes, all for you.
I felt you picking on me a little bit, but it's all cool. I took it.
I just want, in a very, very brief manner, to tell you guys the Islamic worldview in 3 minutes, 5 minutes. I think it's only incumbent upon us for us to explain the Islamic worldview. Because the thing is, there is a question that people may ask, and it's one of the most, if not the most fundamental question that a human being can ask, which is, what is the purpose of life? This is the most fundamental question a human being can ask in the course of his or her life. What is the purpose of life? Now, many different people can give subjective answers to this question. Someone who's very much invested in money, or, for example, other people who are obsessed fully with sports, could answer in the sense that they say, well, the purpose of life is for me to be the best version of this or version. That's a subjective answer. That's not the question, though. The question is there a purpose of life, an objective purpose of life by which and through which all human beings have been commissioned to follow? Now, there's only one or two ways you can look at this. Either there is a purpose of life which is objective, or there isn't. And if there isn't, then whatever we're doing here is temporary, and when we go in the grave, it will just be a rearrangement of atoms, and we are just carbon, and we are just atoms, and when we disintegrate into the earth, we will become with the earth, and that's it. There's nothing to it. This is the conclusion of that worldview. The other way of thinking about it is, no, there is a purpose of life. But if there's a purpose of life, where did it come from? Well, it couldn't have come from nothing. The universe itself couldn't have come from nothing. And the universe itself couldn't have created itself. Because the universe creating itself is like a mother giving birth to herself. It would have to exist and not exist at the same time. So the best answer to the question of why we are here is that there is a universe that was created by a creator that was uncreated. And that creator has knowledge, has power. The creator has knowledge and it has power. And it has given purpose to the human being. And the purpose is to submit to that creator. Submit to one God, because the Creator is God. Someone will argue, isn't that what Jews and Christians say? What's the difference between Islam and Christianity, for example? The answer is that the biggest difference between Islam and Christianity is that Muslims do not believe that the person of Jesus Christ was God. This is the biggest difference. Or that he was a person of the Trinity. Or that he was the Son of God. What Muslims affirm about Jesus Christ was that he was the Messiah. Was that he was a prophet sent by God. As the book of Acts says in the Bible, a man sent from God with wonders and miracles and signs, which God did through him. And so, the biggest difference between Islam and Christianity is that Islam believes that Jesus Christ cannot have been a god. that it's not conceivable, it's not possible, and it's not intelligible for any human being with a date of birth to be labeled as God. And that instead, that anyone with those qualities must be human and limited. Muslims, like Christians and Jews, believe in Abraham, believe in Moses, believe in all of those New Testament prophets. And the question the Quran asks, or the statement it makes, is that Abraham wasn't a Jew or a Christian. And in fact, he couldn't have followed Muhammad because Muhammad ﷺ didn't exist at the time. But he himself was a submitter to one God. Abraham wasn't telling people to believe in the Trinity. Moses wasn't telling people to believe in the Trinity. Not even in the Bible does it say that, by the way. Go and find the verse in the Bible where it says Moses said, believe in Jesus as God, or Moses said that the Trinity exists. You will not find such a verse. And so Islam is a continuation of what Jesus came with. And we think that what Jesus came with, and we have evidence to show, is that to believe in one God and worship in one God. But that message was tainted, like the Sheikh mentioned. And it was changed. And there's decisive evidence to show, historical evidence, that Christianity is a changed religion. There's no question about it. And so Islam came to renew the original message of Jesus Christ. This is what Islam came to do. So if being a Christian is to follow Jesus, then every Muslim, in a sense, should follow Jesus and should be a Christian in that sense. But what we're saying is, follow Christ by believing in one God. This is the main purpose of life. And I just wanted to put that forward to let people know what the Islamic worldview is. Because we believe that there's the Old Testament, there's the New Testament, and then there's the final testament, which is the Quran. SubhanAllah. And that this Quran, which is the final testament, has no errors or inconsistencies inside of it. And that if you follow this, you will be at peace, you will have no depression, and you will be at your purpose in this life. You will have an objective, anchored, solidified, proper purpose of life. Otherwise, believe me, nothing you can do will ever fill the void of that purpose. This is the Islamic worldview. Now we're going to start talking about martial arts and boxing. But I just thought it would be appropriate and proper for us to start like that. Well, first of all, it's a privilege honor for me to have this conversation with you. I mean, I've been watching your fights for a very, very long time, and a legend that people speak about, a person who's obviously moved weight classes and fought James Toney, done incredible things in the sport. This is a question, I mean, what got you into boxing in the first place?
First of all, I'll say Assalamu alaikum to everybody out there.
Salam.
I'm the kind of guy, thank you for the speech earlier too. I knew all that was for me, so I felt you picking on me a little bit, but it's all cool. I took it. I'm cool with that, you know? But thank you, I appreciate it.
Usually you dodge the punches.
Yeah, I usually dodge. That's why I was trying to dodge what you were saying.
You got the defensive style.
I couldn't get away from those. They were pretty good. But yeah, so anyway, what got me into boxing, I was probably different than most people because I started boxing after watching Muhammad Ali fight, I think in about 1974. My father was a boxer, but I didn't know it at that time. I didn't find out until I got about 13 years old that my father was a boxer. But that explained to me later why he was so infatuated with watching Muhammad Ali. When I saw my father watching Muhammad Ali, I think it might have been the Joe Frazier fight. And I was watching Muhammad Ali fight, but I was seeing the mental part more so than anything. Because since I was about 3 years old, I probably was the worst agitator in my family. You understand me? So I always got in trouble for aggravating people. When I saw him aggravating Joe Frazier and beating him, I was like, wait a minute, I can do that. Because I can get on anybody's nerves and I'm never going to get mad.
So you said the mental thing. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you mean by that?
Yeah, the mental thing was, in boxing, for me, I watched Muhammad Ali make you think a certain way, make you want to kill him.
Yes.
And the more you try to kill him, the more happier he is. Mm-hmm. So he can see everything you're doing now because he's pissed you off to a point that you're showing all your weapons because you want to kill it.
So it's a psychological game.
That's exactly what it is.
And you thought you were a manipulator, so you might go get in the ring and try your manipulation tactics in the ring.
I knew I was pretty good at pissing people off too. Yeah. So if I can do that, I know I'm not going to get mad. I can do the same thing he's doing. So he became my inspiration and my idol right away.
How did you develop that style? Because you had a very kind of like well-known defensive style moving and these kind of things. Did that come naturally to you? Did someone teach you that? Or how did you develop it?
I was taught a lot. But as we all say, what God got for you, he's going to prepare you for. So I grew up on a farm, squirrel hunting, rabbit hunting, deer hunting, raising dogs, raising chickens, raising pigs, had a few cows, a few horses. All those things are what I call nature.
Yeah.
If God created nature, the same God that created us, then there's a lot of lessons to be learned in nature. Forget what people say. Nobody can go out there and light this sky up right now.
Yeah.
When that sky sun comes tomorrow, when that sky get light tomorrow, no man can go out there and turn that light out. Only God can do that. Well, only God could have created these animals the way he created them. So I learned to love the roosters because they fought.
Yeah.
And they fought to the death.
Mm-hmm.
I was fascinated by that. You understand me? So being so fascinated, I started wanting to know what made one rooster more superior than the next.
That's
rooster.
A very interesting question.
You feel me?
Very interesting, yeah.
You know, so I figured out the one that does the most fainting.
Aha. The one that keep the other. You actually learned from the animals then?
I had to.
Wow.
I had to. So by learning that, it taught me or gave me really a good foundation as to what I wanted to be and how I wanted to carry myself in the ring. So a lot of people think I do things just to show out. No, I don't. Everything I do has a manipulation.
So when you go in there, do you think, okay, because a lot of it is not just fainting, but is showboating. Do you think I'm going to showboat in the third round to do this? Do you calculate that or does it just, is it instinct?
No, I don't calculate it. You know, it's like, it's something about it that, when God puts it on my heart, I trust God so much that I try it.
Wow.
And there's never been another person do the things that I did because I don't think they had that trust in it to try it like that. I had such a great foundation that I feel like I had to try anything. So in a fight when I was fighting Glenn Kelly, I had hit him with so many counter punches that he wouldn't punch. I got against the ropes and I got an inclination. Someone said, put your hands behind your back, he'll punch then. I put my hand behind his back. Left, right, left. He punched. Bow! Get him out of there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask you a question. Now, these are controversial questions.
What's up, good?
I think you can handle them. Let's start with who you think the greatest of all time fighters are.
And you know who I think the greatest fighter of all times, the greatest athlete of all times, always in my book is going to be Muhammad Ali.
That ain't what I think, that's what I know.
When I hear, sorry to say, but when I hear Floyd Mayweather speak about it, he's usually carrying some kind of a grudge, I think. He's usually not happy about saying that. You know, he never puts Muhammad Ali in his top five.
Well,
what do you think the reason for that is? You seem psychologically screwed on.
I don't want to be a hater.
Yeah, go.
So some people live for different reasons.
Yeah.
Like you said, some people live for and respect different things in life. Some people more materialistic or like that than others. Ali had a heart of gold. You understand me? I loved Ali because of the heart he had. He fought for the weak. He stood up for those that were disabled or those that couldn't, wasn't as beneficial as others. He fought for all good for all people. And he tried to keep everybody unified at the same time. When he died, you saw people from every religion, every race come to his funeral. Why? How many other people have we seen that happen with?
Yeah.
Not many. You understand me? So even the day he left here, he still was leaving the legacy.
In a sense, he transcended the sport completely, didn't he? He was a cultural icon now, isn't he?
They took his best years away from him.
Yeah.
And he's still the greatest of all times.
Mm.
What'd that tell you?
Yeah. I mean, what's a really interesting read? I'm not sure if you've ever read it, but it's a really good book. If you get the time, you should read it. It's the autobiography of Malcolm X, if you get the chance. And in particular, in the last couple of chapters, he talks about the pilgrimage.
Mm-hmm.
And one really interesting thing that he says is that when he goes to the pilgrimage, Malcolm X goes to the pilgrimage, and they knew that he was Muhammad Ali's friend, everybody would greet him and they would love him. So even at that time, it wasn't just like the African American community in America or even the Westerners. The entire Muslim world was behind this man, Muhammad Ali. And it was interesting how he described that, because it's a really interesting read anyway, Malcolm X. It shows the placement of Muhammad Ali in terms of world histories. It's a massive placement. So you put Muhammad Ali there. Who else would you put there in the top five?
In the top five?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't want to say that. I don't know if that's fair or not. But I appreciate it. So he said number two.
He said Roy Jones, yeah.
He said number two, so yeah, we'll go with that.
So give me another one.
You know, man, I thought the world of Sugar Ray Robinson and Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah.
They were two of a kind, so I put them two together.
Okay.
I gotta say Roberto Duran.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't understand why I say the Roberto Duran, but this is how you gotta look at it. They got a thing called the Four Kings, right? Marvin Hagler started out as a middleweight. Mm-hmm. Sugar Ray and Thurman Hearns started out as welterweights. Duran started out as a lightweight. And he won the Four Kings. What'd that tell you?
Mm.
Huh? Got to be a bad dude. Last but not least is my favorite Mexican, Salvador Sanchez.
Mm, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And the reason I say Salvador Sanchez, a lot of these young guys up here may not know this, but we talked about how Canelo was too young to fight Floyd at 21 years old, right? Salvador Sanchez defended his title 9 times at 21 years old, the WBC world title. He died at 22.
Where would you mention Floyd? Where would you put him in the rankings? Mayweather, where would you put him in?
Who?
All right, let me ask you a question.
If you don't respect Muhammad Ali, how can I respect you?
It's a good point. By the way, we don't like Floyd for other reasons now as well. I mean, he's been shaking hands with the devil. I mean,
I ain't saying liking me cool. I mean, everybody's entitled to do their own thing. And what he did was brilliant. He was smart about what he did. But to tell me that you don't think Muhammad Ali is the greatest of all time,
yeah, yeah,
you may well be spitting in my face.
He doesn't even put him in the top five.
You may as well spit in my face.
Mm-hmm. Give me your top best three boxing fights of all time.
Three boxing fights?
Yeah. Because you mentioned Hagler and Hearn, so I was thinking that's usually put up there.
That's definitely one of them.
Yeah.
But two more fights that I loved. One was Ron Lyle versus George Foreman.
Okay.
I think it was about 6 or 7 knockdowns.
Really?
George epically winning the fight, but that was a hell of a fight. The other one I would put up there is, because I'm old school, Larry Holmes, Ken Norton.
Okay.
If you ever get a chance, go watch that.
Watch too. That one.
That's what made me start liking Larry Holmes, because I didn't like him because of what he did to Ali. But when he beat Ken Norton, I got a little bit more respect for him.
Okay, let me ask you, is this working? Yeah. Another controversial question, right? Recently, Jake Paul fought Mike Tyson and gimmick fight. Now, a lot of people have been saying this is a staged fight. It's fixed. I mean, if you look at the comments and a lot of the social media platforms, that's what they're saying. I think the majority of comments is that this thing is fixed. Now, you fought Tyson, I don't know, was it 4 years ago now, 5 years ago or something?
4 years.
What is your opinion on this? Do you think it was fixed? Or do you think that maybe he told them, look, we're just going to do a little sparring thing, don't go too hard? Or, you know, what do you think happened in this situation?
First things first, for Mike Tyson to be 58 years old and to do anything and walk away with $20 million is out of this world, right? The reason he was able to do that is because of the hype and the social media around Jake Paul. Mm. So Jake Paul actually gave him a gift, a blessing that he wouldn't have got from anybody else at that age. So I can't say nothing bad about Mike.
Yeah.
Because at 58, who else going to make that kind of money?
But what do you think happened, though?
It looked like it might have been a little bit of an understanding. I don't know.
No, but you reckon it was a fully-fledged understanding?
He was after me a whole lot harder than he was after Jake Paul. And he didn't make quite that much money, so he was at my neck. You understand me? I mean, he even took the gloves and ran the laces up my face one time. Pissed me off.
Well, you're lucky to then buy those gloves and buy your ear as well.
Well, that's why when the guy told me he bites the gloves all the time, I said, I just did 8 rounds with him 4 years ago. And I don't remember him biting the glove at all. Because if he'd have bit a glove, I'd start holding my ears.
So do you reckon he was Do you reckon he was biting that glove because he was so frustrated that he couldn't do what he wanted to do?
That seemed kind of like what it was. Like he was biting that glove out of pure frustration.
Maybe
I
did it too.
He's like, to me, Mike's like a pit bull, right? You got a pit bull, he can play with other pit bulls because a fight going to break out. But a pit bull don't know how to play well. When he starts playing, because there's a fight, a real fight going to break out. They just don't know how to do it.
But you say it was an understanding. Do you reckon it was a fully fledged, like, WWE style understanding? Or, you know, this is, you take the full ear, or, you know what I mean?
I can't really say.
Okay.
Because I don't know. And I, if I knew that, I would tell you, I don't know that. So I really don't know what it really was. But however it goes, tell Jake Paul, don't call me because he would knock me out. For real. Because you don't knock me out, I'm knocking you out. So don't call Roy, because Roy ain't playing.
He ain't playing no games
at all.
All right, well, I mean, it was a pleasure talking to you. And I think everybody here, I mean, already your energy is exuberating. Everyone here can feel your energy, and we would love to welcome you to the Islamic family. That's something that we'll talk about.
I appreciate it.
Behind the scenes.
Thank you.
That's something we'll talk about. But thank you so much for talking to me about this and sharing these very important experiences.
And for me, it also is an honor and a pleasure to be on stage with all these other world champions.
Pleasure's all ours, honestly. Pleasure's all ours.
Thank you all for coming up and doing what y'all are doing.
Thank you.
Keep the head up, stay strong, stay smart. Do what he just said. Try to be the best that you can be.
Thank you. And now, last but not least, but we'll get the mic on you first. Yes. Assalamu alaikum, brother. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. I'm not bad.
Everything good. How are you, like, you know, the United Kingdom?
Good. I'm fine, good.
Is this the first time you come here? Luton.
Luton, yeah. Here.
But you've come to UK many times.
Yes, in London. I had five there.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's,
you know,
right.
I will. I try to tell you long stories about my career, like boxing career and for the wife. But I have some problem, but my English is little.
No, we understand your English now. We understand
and,
fully.
And I have, if you ask me three questions, that's it, okay?
Yeah. We'll try and make it as, you know, quickly as possible. But your English is very good, very fantastic. We understand, especially because now there's many people coming from these Caucasus region, like Habib and, you know, Hamzat and all. So we understand the accent fully now. It's like,
no better.
It's a good one. I was going to ask. Yeah.
I'm too busy with boxing and then don't have time to learn English, no?
No, but you're definitely good at English. I was going to ask you, obviously you're Chechenian by nationality or from origin. Have you done any wrestling before, anything like that?
Yeah, I'm starting wrestling, boxing, both
at the same time.
But I say in boxing, like. Oh.
So you can wrestle as well?
No.
it's because almost all the Dagestanis and the Chechens I've met have some wrestling experience.
Yeah,
you know, there's something they do.
No. We not do testing, we don't.
No, not today. that's your amateur record doesn't appear on some of the things. You amateur fights. Did you do, like, before you became professional, you were amateur?
Yes.
How many fights do you have?
Almost 300.
Really? Oh my God.
It's too long, you know.
Wow.
I'm 30 years in boxing.
Wow. Because here in the UK, like, amateur fighters, correct me if I'm wrong, like maximum 20, 30 is a good number for.
Because they are good boxers and less dupes.
But 300, maybe, what does that mean? Like twice a week, something would you do?
I don't know. I don't remember, you know. But
one of the fights you had was with Alexander Usyk. Yeah. You had, I think you fought him, what, two times or three?
Three.
Three times.
On 81 kilo?
Yeah.
Category and 91 kilo, two times.
Let me ask you a question. In the future, would you ever think of fighting Alexander Usyk and going up to the heavyweight division?
No, heavyweight, no. But cruiserweight, that I can make cruiserweight, but not heavyweight. Heavyweight is too much, you know, and I'll be too busy to eating, you know.
Eating all the time.
And I need to train to
We can help you with this training camp, brother. We have all the food here in Luton. But it was, I think your style was very tricky for him. If people watch that fight, people will see it's very tricky for him. Maybe even if you did it, it would be a great test for him. If you did fight Usyk, let's be honest, let's like cruiserweight. Let's say he goes down and you go up a little bit. How do you think that fight will go?
We can ask Roy.
Because you know, I'm not that boxer like Roy Jones, like these guys, like because I'm not fan of boxing, and I don't know what I do in boxing, but I just do training, like, you know.
You don't watch it?
I'm not. Yeah, no.
Really?
No, I don't watch boxing. Like, so what? I like use this boxing like my job, you know.
Ah. But when you want to improve your boxing, do you not watch particular boxers that...
No, when I have fight and we're learning for... We're watching some videos, like everything.
Who do you watch? Which people you...
When I have fight?
Yeah.
When I have fight, we're watching him.
The other person?
Yeah, another fight.
The opponent?
Yeah,
opponent. What about, like, would you ever look at another fighter? You said in many interviews before, like Muhammad Ali, for example. So you've watched him fight. Do you not...
I'm not a fan of boxing.
Really? Really? Very interesting.
No, I know Muhammad Ali. Watch him a couple of fights, like his fights, like, you know, but not like, I don't remember where they fight, who they fight, you know.
Really?
They know. We ask them, they know that.
Wow. But wow. I'm not. You're not into like the trivia, this all the stuff, but you're just into the fighting itself.
Yeah, it's like my job. Like, you do your job now, yeah? My joke.
Excuse me, sir. He is from Russia.
From Russia. But you represented Russia and Canada before, isn't it?
Yeah.
But now only Russia.
No, now I represent both.
Both.
Russia and Canada.
But most of your life you spent it in Russia or in Canada or half-half?
Past, yes. Future, I don't know.
Mm. Yes, you will see. We'll see what happened. Okay. There's been some discussion, but I saw it on social media with you and Jake Paul. So, it's what do you want to achieve from this?
You know, Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali is my favorite boxers, even I'm not fan of boxing. I mean,
yeah.
And like Jake Paul beating, I think it's not real, I don't know. But, and it's my first reaction.
Do you think it's fake, it's staged?
I don't know. I mean, it's my first reaction. I want to pay him back, you know, like show him something for boxing to try, maybe.
But you want to fight him?
And that, and I just.
Do you
I
think
just offer would... him like, if you want the real boxing, we can do. That's it.
Sure, I'm sure. See it.
Yeah.
Do you think he would accept your challenge? I think because let's be honest. I think this man, he's taking steroids. Okay, I think he is taking steroids. So if you want to fight him, you have to put. You can take steroids. You have to put this in the contract.
But they did.
Yeah, and maybe also he has to have like baseball bat as well to make it fair.
I will bring that.
No, but honestly, like if you did fight him and it was a real fight, I think the fight will be finished in 2 rounds maximum, and that's giving him a lot of credit. 1 round, really.
We don't know what we know what happened with Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, but I tell you, like Roy Jones beating like maybe 2 rounds, max.
Yes. One round, actually. Maybe one round, finish him. Do you think he's a good boxer, though? Do you think he's got potential? Or do you think he's a...
Not good. Yeah.
He's okay.
Yeah.
So long as he...
He's good, like he beat my cast.
What is the future for you? So now you've become the unified light heavyweight champion, which is congratulations. Undisputed. Everybody, please. It was a phenomenal achievement. Obviously, it was a close fight. It was something that people spoke about, and everybody. I saw Eddie Hearn came out, and he had his comments straight away and stuff like that. But you know Eddie Hearn. I mean, he knows him better as well. But, but you know, first of all, are you going to rematch Bivol?
They want to do this match.
You're going to.
They want to do the match.
It's been announced. There's
not this. Has it just been announced? Is the announcement?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
So you look, he's a bigger fan than you are because he knows before you even. It's been announced just now, has it? Oh, it's been announced just now that the Bivol BF2 is going to the rematch. After this fight, inshallah, when you beat him again, even more decisively, so there's nobody say anything. Is there, who else do you want to take on?
You know, I'm 40 already. Yes, maybe, I don't know.
But Roy Jones was, how old were you, 42, is it, when you came back to boxing? Yeah, so I mean, it has been there with George
Foreman. But he had a rest before, you know. He take a rest and I pick him back box.
And well, you want to take
I
a rest?
I need to rest too, like, you know, 30 years of boxing, but it's a joke, I don't want to rest, you know.
No resting. There's no time for rest now. We have to do it. But if you could fight somebody, who would be your dream opponent?
Clearly.
Apart from Jake Paul.
In beginning our conversation, I tell you, I'm not fan of boxing and I'm not dreaming about boxing.
Yes. What about Tyson Fury?
Tyson Fury?
Let's imagine that there was big money on the table, something huge thing happened. And you say, listen, BFF, we know this is the guy that's going to beat Tyson Fury. I mean, Usyk beat him. You've got a style, I'm not going to say similar to Usyk, but definitely tricky for someone like Tyson Fury. What would you think would happen in a fight between you and Fury? Let's imagine.
We can imagine. You know, it's like, if I do like these things, like imagine like I want to fight with him, I don't have time to do my job, like or my training.
Yes. Well, thank you very, very much. I think to everybody on the panel, it's been a pleasure and an honor to interview all of you. One last question I'm going to ask you before we end. Give me a rundown of your daily routine.
Daily routine?
Yeah, what you do in the morning, like how you eat, how you go to training, how many times you go to training. Just tell us what you do on a daily basis.
2 times per day.
Yeah.
I do training, morning.
What time? Like
7. At 7.
7 o'clock in the morning, yeah.
7 to 9.
Yeah.
And 3 to 5.
Okay, so like 4 hours a day.
4 hours a day. Yeah. But it's minimum, and after training, I always stay there like hour. It's more a little.
And you do like running, or do you not do any running?
There is like I have condition coach.
Yes.
I have per week we have running and like different things.
Oh, like circuit and stuff like that, you're jumping up and down, going up, these kind of things. And he says 2 times a day, every day.
No, but Sunday is like
rest.
Yeah, rest.
And what do you do for recovery? You go into like the ice bath. You like this stuff, like the ice bath or anything like that. You massage or.
I try ice bath, but I like more sauna.
Sauna, yeah. Yeah, because ice bath is very uncomfortable.
No, it's like. But it's good too. But I more prefer ice
sauna.
Sauna.
Yeah, and how do you eat? What kind of food do you have like every day?
Halal. Everything halal, you know. Yeah, like, I don't know, you know, for example, I can eat if I have a camp. For example, I have main training is at 3 o'clock. And for lunch, I eat 1 month to 2 months, spaghetti with some meat.
The same food every
same
single day?
Food. I can.
You get not bored, something like that? It's okay, yeah? You have some sauce with it, nothing?
But spaghetti is like good for, you know, for energy.
Cardio and stuff. Cardio. Do you take any?
Carbs, like, you know.
Yeah. Do you take any supplements?
Of course.
Which one do you take? Not the same one like Jake Paul, because that's a different thing.
I don't know who take this. I take, you know, it's good question, because I take supplements or vitamins, like, you know, since when I was young kid, because I'm like, I don't know, I'm really, my mom is nurse and she always give me some vitamins, you know.
And do you know what you're taking, like vitamin C, vitamin D?
Yeah.
All that stuff.
And then since that time I'm always like following these things, and I think it's good, like
it's good, you know, yeah,
it's good for kid, and when you're growing up, like, you know, if you have these things.
Some people that say if you eat beetroot.
Beach.
You know, like the beetroot, the red one. It makes your cardio better.
Ah, yeah.
There's some evidence you... Did
liver,
they tell you
liver.
These things? Liver as well?
Liver. I eat liver always. Not always.
Liver, yeah? I hope my wife, she's listening, she will get this liver as well. She will get it. Any other thing? You eat special things? Okay, one last question. Where you are fighting, How do you breathe?
Breathe?
Yeah, how you breathe? Do you, like, when you throw each punch, do you breathe out?
I'm not breathing. I'm not breathing.
Do you breathe with your nose?
Yeah. My coach, you know, it's a long time ago. He tell me, like, when you do, when you boxing, when you do punch, you need breathe out.
I'm breathing out.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And it's help. I find this help for the way.
Yeah?
No?
Okay,
but
yes.
I don't know that. But all I right. don't know that 25 years ago.
I don't know that. The guy, I don't even know who was behind me just there. But he was asking me before, because sometimes we see you doing like, we the Muslims, we know, but I think it's better if you tell everyone. Sometimes you do like, you say something under your breath, okay? In the press conference, in this. Tell us, what's the secret word you are?
It's secret words. And I want to say something like what here's everyone say, Alhamdulillah. We always say that, Alhamdulillah. And telling you this story. I heard, I don't know, you can approve or is true or not true. And I see, heard about like, if Muslim people, like, you know, he get some good news or someone give him all the world, you know, if he says Alhamdulillah is better to him
than the whole
he get it, you know.
Alhamdulillah. Amazing.
It means Alhamdulillah.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. So Alhamdulillah, for those who don't know, it just means praise and thanks belongs to Allah. So you're thanking Allah for everything you have. And by the way, do you know how they would translate this into Christian language? It's hallelujah. It's the same, but it's just hallelujah, they say. Once in a while. But this is something we as the Muslims, we would say all the time. Alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah. Like, praise and thanks be to Allah. So this is what Beterbiev is saying before his fights. And does it help you? Does it help you get into a good state of mind before?
I mean, I don't say alhamdulillah before fight. I say after fight.
Oh, okay. Which one you say? Subhanallah before?
Before fight, I say Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, hasanallahu wa ni'mal wakeel.
Hasbunallah, mashallah. Allahu akbar, inshallah. And I think that's a beautiful way to end it. The secret is out, and now I know what to say in certain fights that I'm going to be having on the 14th of December. We'll see. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. And thank you to everybody for that. I mean, it was a pleasure speaking to all of you. I've gotten tips for myself as well. And with that, we will conclude. I hope you guys have had a fantastic evening. We're going to give it back to the host.
He's definitely ready for the fight. He's got a bunch of good fighters here. He's swimming with the guys, you know. If you can keep your head above water, you know, in the sparring rounds, rolling, grappling, striking, then, you know, he's going to do fine. I'm Stuart Austin, head MMA coach at Fight Zone. I'm still a professional fighter and obviously the head coach of the gym for the MMA program.
How's your training going?
It's going all right. I've lost weight, as you can see.
On the 14th of December, there's going to be some fireworks that's going to take place in Coventry. I'm going to make my professional MMA debut, and I'm going to take on a very stiff and competent opponent, a boxer. I've been training here with some of the best heavyweights in the country. Actually, some of the coaches here, like Stuart Austin, who's the only person who's ever beaten Tom Aspinall, who's a UFC heavyweight champion. I think someone else might have had like a DQ in or something. He's got a fantastic record and now he's a coach. We've got Mario Pinto, who's also a UFC heavyweight, traded with, and also he's like a coach. So he's like a training partner slash coach. 9-0, professional record, undefeated. And of course we've got Shah Kamani as well, who's a up-and-comer Bengali person, heavyweight, 4-0, and he's got a fight coming up as well in December. So we've got the team. I'm very privileged to be with people like this and this much experience. I'm hoping that it's going to be a fantastic day on the 14th, actually. So make sure that you book the pay-per-view tickets, because to watch this on pay-per-view, 20%, one-fifth of the earnings will go to charity. We'll go to the Lebanese crisis. We know what's going on there. And so we can, inshallah, raise money and be entertained at the same time.